We were hearing how Krishna has killed Putana, who was such a rakshasi. She was terrible. It is important for us to hear the pastimes of Krishna. It is important for us to understand his form, what he looks like, his qualities. What's an example of one of Krishna's qualities? Yes. Go ahead, do you know them all? What's another one of Krishna's qualities? Let's see if anyone else knows any. Huh? The last four, but how about the beginning four too? Huh? He's merciful. We have to understand that Krishna is merciful, that he's all powerful. What else? He's what? Dear. Oh, so but dear, yes. What is dira or grave mean? Very grave. Do you know anyone who is very grave?
Ram.
How well do you know Lord Ram? First name basis, obviously. Ram, I know. Prabhupada was very grave. Oh, was he grave. And you would ask him a question, and you can never know what answer was going to come. You couldn't predict, because the level that he would answer from was very, very deep. And one time, many years ago, in the very early days of the movement, Prabhupada was walking by the Pacific Ocean with some of his disciples. And Prabhupada asked, why is the, because Pacific actually means peaceful, pacified, peaceful. So he asked, why is the ocean peaceful? And then he replied, because it is deep. Because we tend not to be deep in our realization, in our attraction to Krishna, in our attachment to Krishna, we tend to get disturbed by every wind of disturbance that comes along. But if we are deep in our relationship with Krishna, then nothing can disturb us. Even at the moment of death, we can be free from disturbance if we are deep enough in our relationship with Krishna. And we want to become deep in our relationship with Krishna. We want to have a relationship. Actually, everyone has a relationship with Krishna, because jiva bhuta sanatana, it is eternal. Mama eva angsa, our relationship with Krishna is we are his part and parcel. Aham bijapada pita. He is like our father, the seed-giving father. And he is the panam satyam. He is the absolute truth. There is nothing external outside of him. So we have a relationship with Krishna. But right now, not only isn't it deep, I mean, I'm not speaking of you, but in general, that it is not, we have forgotten it. We've turned our back on our relationship with Krishna. And therefore, we cannot truly be happy or satisfied, because we are in an unnatural position of our consciousness is not connected to Krishna. We are not Krishna conscious, and that's artificial. It's turning our back on what really is. We have a relationship with Krishna. So then the question is, so therefore we look in the material world for so many relationships. We look for relationships with dead matter, with bodies, with machines, with countries, with movements, with, meaning, you know, materialistic communities and organizations and things like that. And And they don't bring us the satisfaction that we are looking for, because we need to be Krishna conscious. And of course that was Prabhupada's purpose with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because everyone needs association. We are social by nature, Prabhupada once told me. So it is association of devotees that we need, because that will increase our desire to have our relationship with Krishna. We want to increase our desire to have our relationship with Krishna. We want to become attracted to the all-attractive. So how to do that? One of the main methods is Srimad Bhagavata Shravan, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear about Krishna. Because when we hear about Krishna, we hear about his name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes, and they're all attractive. Krishna has unlimited beauty. What could be more attractive than someone who is unlimitedly beautiful? What's Krishna's eyebrows, what do they do? Yes. But what else do they do? They dance. They move in such an attractive way that you can't keep your... And they also compared to bows, and the arrow is shot from the glance of Krishna. And Krishna's mouth is compared to what? Lotus mouth, what else? Madhusmitam madugandhi. It has the fragrance, Krishna's smile, vadanam madhuram. His smile has the fragrance of honey. Now, think about that. Usually when we think about honey, madhu, we don't think about its fragrance. We think about its sweetness, its taste. But Krishna's smile has the fragrance of honey. It is subtle, not so much like that perhaps, but more subtle and very charming. And is mridu smita. It is very soft. Mridu means soft, yes? Very soft and gentle, his smile. And his eyebrows dance, and his earrings. When it's translated, the shape of Krishna's earrings, what is it usually translated as? In what language is Makara is the translation of? Well, sometimes crocodile, but a makara is neither a shark or a crocodile or a fish. It's a makara. It's just something that we have not seen many of. But Krishna has earrings, and they reflect in his cheeks, and he's all attractive. Akshanvantam phalamidam na param vidaha. There is nothing more attractive to the eyes than Krishna. This is the perfection of the eyes, is to see the charming face of Krishna. So when we hear about the charming face of Krishna and his characteristics and the pastimes and his strength, we become attracted. And because there is potency, power, because they are all the same as Krishna, Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, Krishna is there in his pastimes, then we can, perhaps if we are a little fortunate, experience our existence on a different level than we usually experience our existence on. What level do we usually experience our existence on? We're usually caught in our minds. Someday you just watch all the people walk from here to there, and everyone's in their own little worlds. They're wandering around this bubble of thinking about themselves, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and this person said this, and this person said that, and oh, anxiety about this, and fear about that, and anticipation of happiness in the future about that, and lamenting this and that. So we don't exactly live where our body is. We tend to live in the mental realm, manoretain, asato dhavato vahi. We tend to live on the mental platform. This is Kali Yuga, and everyone in Kali Yuga's mind is so disturbed. So therefore, everyone's consciousness is disturbed. So we get a little bit of pleasure, and we get so much difficulty on this living on the mental platform. But if we hear about Krishna, we hear the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Krishna book, then we can, perhaps if we are a little fortunate, get a taste of what our existence is meant to be in relationship with Krishna instead of in relationship with our mind. Because again, we're usually living mostly in relationship with our minds. And that is not pleasant. It is not, certainly not ecstatic. And then when we can live in relationship with Krishna, it's something else. So this is the goal of our life. To live in relationship with Krishna. So that's why we're here. We've come to Vrindavan, either visiting or serving here. And even when we're visiting, we should be in a mood of serving here. And Vrindavan is the land of service. Because there already is an enjoyer here. And that is Krishna, Purushottam Krishna, Lila Purushottam. That's a good name, isn't it? He is the enjoyer, and when we're here, we shouldn't be in the mood of enjoyer, because if we're in the mood of enjoyer, who is our competitor? It's Krishna. And that's, it's, we'll lose if we compare. That's it. There's an old saying of war, never fight a battle. Mao Zedong, he said, never fight a battle that you are not sure you're going to win. So to compete with Krishna is to fight a battle we are sure we're going to lose, because he's all attractive. And his eyebrows dance, and mine don't dance. They just sort of sleep. And his smile is as sweet as the fragrance of honey. Subtle and sweet. And it's so soft. And his face is compared to the moon. Yeah. So let us hear something about Krishna. Putana came to kill Krishna, and she was killed by Krishna. As one of our acharyas said, for a child, the breast milk of his mother is life. Of mother is life. So Putana came to Krishna to offer her breast, which is life for the child, and Krishna took her life. So what's the problem? That's what the devotees said this. What is the problem? You offered your life, he took it. Don't criticize, don't complain. So after Putana was killed, she actually flew out, because she was in the form of someone so beautiful, like a Lakshmi. And then when Krishna was holding on to her, he was actually quite angry, because she had killed so many of the children in Raja. And Krishna was angry, and he was holding on, and she flew away. And when she flew away, Mother Yashoda and Rohini Devi, consciousness flew from their bodies in a similar way. And if They had fainted because suddenly their dearest beloved, Krishna, was in the arms of someone who they thought was like a mother, and suddenly she was screaming, "Leave me, child," and she had changed her form, and it was becoming horrible and expanding, and it flew away, and they were just thinking, what will happen to Krishna? They weren't thinking like that because it was too fast. And when Putana flew away, their consciousness also flew away, and they fainted. And it is it a good thing to faint or not a good thing to faint? Usually we would say it is not a good thing to faint, but in this case it was a good thing to faint, because if they hadn't fainted, they would have died. Because Krishna was everything for them. Krishna was everything. Their wealth, their life, their love was completely reposed in Krishna. They were so attracted to him. He was just a little boy, and they were completely attracted to him. They fainted. So then, when Putana died, she assumed her real form, which was 12 miles, I don't know what that is in kilometers, 14 perhaps, 18, so that's pretty big form. And amazing, it didn't hurt anyone, but it crushed the trees that were the mangled trees of Kamsa's orchard. Krishna does many things at one time, and they crush them. And then some of the ladies went out, and Krishna wanted to show that he was okay, and he was just playing upon her body, unharmed or anything. And Mother Yasoda and Rohini were fainted, and the ladies came and grabbed Krishna without moving back. They saw Mother Yasoda, and they thought what to do, and one intelligent Aldui Mataji said, put him on the lap of Yasoda Devi, and with the presence of Krishna, Yasoda came back to life and consciousness. And then looking at Krishna, she fainted, and tears were coming from her eyes, and they were hitting her body hot like needles, giving her more pain because of her looking at Krishna and her worrying about Krishna. She fainted again, but then she fed Krishna her milk, her own milk, and Krishna took it, and he was peaceful, and she was peaceful, and then she and the ladies were just talking, how did this happen? How did Putana come? What happened after this? And Putana just entered, and she said this, and she said that, and then we found her like this, and they were just talking about what had happened, and how Krishna was just playing, and he was satisfied, and now he's okay, and Krishna is okay, and how can we make sure Krishna's okay? And that's where we'll start reading right now. The gopis, headed by Mother Yashoda, first, they wanted to protect Krishna. First, he was washed with the urine of a cow. Now, according to modern medical standards, this might not be the most auspicious things to do to Krishna, but in this cowherd community, and according to Ayurveda, and according to Vedic culture, this is pure. And it's protective. And then they washed him. They threw the dust created by the hoofs of the cows all over his body. Again, according to modern so-called civilization, this wouldn't be the thing that you would do to protect this boy. But everything connected to the cow except the mouth of the cow is considered to be perfectly clean. And this was all just to save little Krishna from future inauspicious accidents. Because their only concern was for Krishna. This is prema bhakti. This is love for Krishna. This is begun, this process of turning to Krishna and learning to love him is begun by sharanagati or surrender. Turning to Krishna, but then when one turns to Krishna, then one begins the process of developing love for Krishna. And this is the perfection, this constant, continuous, full absorption in what's in Krishna's pleasure and trying to please Krishna according to who one is. So this was the mood of Braja. Only this mood towards Krishna. They love Krishna. They thought and talked about nothing else all day long. So when Krishna was saved from this Rakshasi, they were trying to protect him from any future inauspiciousness, any future difficulty. They had nothing else on their minds. Prabhupada continues, the transcendental body of Krishna did not require any protection. But to instruct us on the importance of the cow, the Lord was smeared over with cow dung. So not only the dust of the cow, and not only the urine of it, but the cow dung. They were putting it all over his body. So this shows us the glories of the cow. Krishna was appreciating this. But it also shows one of the nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. They were, one couldn't say they were unaware of Krishna's fully transcendental position, because sometimes they were certainly aware of it, but the nature of their prema, the nature of their love, it overwhelmed the nature of their consciousness of Krishna's Aishwarya. They love Krishna, because if they were thinking, oh, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's all-powerful, then they would be thinking, what need is there for me to protect him? Rather, he should protect us. He should protect me. But that isn't the highest relationship of love, because then I'm thinking of me, but in love, one's own sense of one's own needs is subordinate, it is made less. And one is just thinking about the needs of the beloved. The beloved is who is in our consciousness. So when love is there, and if they were fully conscious, if they weren't conscious even of Krishna's transcendental position and all-powerfulness, they were just thinking, what can we do to protect him? So they were cowherd people, so they protected him with the cow. And he was washed with urine and sprinkled with the dust upraised by the walking of the cows. After this purificatory process, the gopis, headed by Yashoda and Mohini, chanted the names of Vishnu to give Krishna's body full protection from evil influence, probably Vishnu Sahasranam. So look what they were doing. They were chanting the names of Vishnu to protect Krishna, because they were Narayana Samogunai. They had heard from Gargacharya that everyone was thinking always because Nanda Maharaj is such a great devotee of Lord Narayan, therefore Lord Narayan has given him this wonderful son, and because Nanda Maharaj is such a great devotee of Lord Narayan, then this boy has been always protected. Of course, this is the first demon that has tried to kill him, other than, of course, Kamsa. But they're just thinking, they don't keep in their consciousness that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. They don't keep that in their consciousness. Therefore, they can manifest so much love to him. They wash their hands and feet and sip water 3 times, Achman, as is the custom before chanting mantras. They chanted as follows, my dear Krishna, may the Lord, who is known as Aja, protect your legs. May Lord Maniman protect your knees. May Lord Jagya protect your thighs. May Lord Achyuta protect your upper waist. May Lord Hayagriva protect your abdomen. May Lord Keshava protect your heart. May Lord Isha protect your chest. May Surya protect your neck. May Lord Vishnu protect your arms. So one by one, they're chanting the names of Lord Narayan for Krishna's protection. Every part of Krishna's body they wanted to protect, because that's the nature of love. And when you love someone and you see that they're in difficulty or in pain, that is more painful than pain to your own self. To see one's mother or father in difficulty and not being able to help is so painful. Children, so painful to see. Beloveds in different ways. So they couldn't tolerate the thought of any difficulty for Krishna. They loved Krishna. They had prema bhakti. They did not fear God. They loved him completely. So I won't read all the different names over here. May Lord Narayan protect the core of your heart. May Lord Yogeshwar protect your mind. May Lord Prishnagarbha protect your intelligence. Who did Prishnagarbha come to see? Dhruva Maharaj. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect your soul. While you are playing, may Lord Govinda protect you from all sides. When you are sleeping, may Lord Madhava protect you from all danger. When you are walking, may the Lord of Vaikuntha protect you from falling down. When you are sitting, may Lord Narayan give you all protection. Sitting, walking, sleeping, standing, every part of your body, please be protected. Thus Mother Yasoda chanted different names of Vishnu to protect Krishna's different bodily parts. Mother Yasoda was firmly convinced that she should protect her child from different kinds of evil spirits and ghosts, dakinis, yakshas, rakshasas, kotaras, retavis, and jastas, and putanas, and matrikas, and unmadas, and similar other evil spirits, who cause persons to forget their own existence and give trouble to the life airs and the senses. Now listen to this. Sometimes they appear in dreams and cause much perturbation, disturbance. Sometimes they appear as old women and suck the blood of small children. But no such ghosts and evil spirits can remain where there is chanting of the holy names of God. Yes, confirmed. Do you think that's true? Has anyone ever had experiences like that? Yeah. I remember one time, somehow or another, this is a peculiar experience. I'll tell you too. There was one devotee, one Chinese devotee actually, who had in 1973, it was a terrible time in China. The Cultural Revolution was going on. And this one devotee, one man, he was Christian, he swam across what was one bay that separated China from Hong Kong. He risked his life and there were sharks and everything. But to live in such, where they were killing people at that time, it was so terrifying to him, he decided to escape, and he couldn't practice any religion. So he escaped, and then somehow or another he came in touch with us who were young and preaching in Hong Kong. And he told me at one time that he was having problem with ghosts, and they would always disturb him. So I told him to chant Krishna's names if you're ever disturbed. And then he told me, and he used to try to, he told me that he used to chant the names of Jesus, but it wouldn't stop the ghosts from coming. But then he told me that when he was chanting Krishna's names, then he wasn't disturbed anymore. A true story, actually. And, huh? Yeah, and he was a devout Christian. And also, I once had this peculiar experience that Prabhupada was visiting Melbourne. And there was some reason or other. Oh yeah, there were so many people staying in my house that I had no place to live. So I went, so I decided, I was in a, there was a place where Prabhupada stayed the last time he had visited, so I decided that I would sleep outside in the backyard of that place. So I went to sleep there. It was far away near the ocean, and I went there, and in the middle of the night, I was sleeping, and then it was quite terrifying. There was this, and I never had an experience like this before. I thought sort of, oh, this kind of stuff, just superstition. That's how I was thinking. And then suddenly there was this, I don't know if I should even do this now, but there was this heavy sound, like, but on the subtle level, it was sort of like, it was so heavy, and I felt that I was being attacked. And I started saying in my mind, Krishna, 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 and suddenly it went the other way. It's like that. It was true. Yeah. So take shelter of Krishna when there's suki duki bolo nako vadani harinam korore. This is what we should do. We should always take shelter of Krishna's holy names, because that is taking shelter of Krishna. So if we, and there's a saying that Prabhupada said that if you chant Krishna's names when you're in difficulty, the difficulty will go away. And if you chant Krishna's names always, you'll never be in difficulty. So this is really the safest position that we can place ourselves in. Namasra kore jatanatumi. That we should go about our lives perhaps, but take shelter of Krishna's names. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. We should try to make Krishna our shelter, our wealth, everything for us. And if we can really do this, I mean, not just say it and say I'm a devotee and not inside, not really be one with, but if we can actually make Krishna our wealth, our shelter, our life, then if we do that, our life is successful. And then, because that's Gotripte Varanam Tata, then that will allow us, makes us, Krishna think of us in that way, that he is mine. We think of Krishna as ours. Krishna will naturally, yayatamam prapajate, think, oh, this one is mine. He's taking shelter of me. How can I neglect him? And this is a wonderful thing about doing service for Krishna. And sometimes even doing something a little bit more than is comfortable for us. Because do that for the pleasure of Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and then Krishna notices, and he gives us strength. He gives us strength, and he'll let us know that he's there, taking care of us. It's inappropriate for me to ask, have any of you in your devotional lives have had that experience where Krishna has let you know that he's taking care of you? But all devotees, Krishna lets them know. There's some little ways sometimes. So Mother Yashoda was firmly convinced of the Vedic injunctions about the importance of cows and the holy names of Vishnu. Therefore, she took all shelter in the cows and the name of Vishnu, just to protect her child Krishna. It's so amazing how these two are put together. The cow is such a symbol of religiousness, and Krishna is so fond of cows. And therefore, he is named Gopal and Govinda. Gopal, Govinda. Yeah, and just by saying the names of Gopal and Govinda, where's that boy whose name was Gopal? We miss him. Oh, he was just sitting there yesterday. Just to say, what is your name? He says, Gopal. It was just so nice. What a nice name, Gopal. Govinda. So Vedic culture has taken advantage of keeping cows and chanting the holy name of Vishnu since the beginning of history. And persons who are still following the Vedic ways, especially the householders, keep it at least one dozen cows and worship the deity of Lord Vishnu. Okay, all you householders, do you have all one dozen cows in your house? In your minimum. Huh? How many? Yeah, over there. Yeah. So this is the culture. They also keep you warm in the cold, which would be very helpful at this point. Persons who are advancing in Krishna consciousness should take instructions from this pastime and also be very interested in cows and the holy name of Vishnu. So that is good impetus for the cow protectors, Goraksha. Now, the elder gopis of Vrindavan were so absorbed in affection for Krishna that they wanted to save him, although there was no need to, for he had already protected himself. They could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a child. After performing the formalities to protect the child, Mother Yasoda took Krishna and let him suck her breast. And when the child was protected by Vishnu mantra, Mother Yashoda felt that he was safe. In the meantime, all the cowherd men who had gone to Mathura to pay tax returned home and were struck with wonder at seeing the gigantic dead body of Putana. Because Vasudeva had told Nanda Maharaj, be careful, you should get back. Maybe there will be some disturbance in Braja. And Nanda Maharaj thought that Vasudeva is certainly my well-wisher. And why would he say something like that unless there was a real possibility of disturbance? So he went back and suddenly, and remember, he had just left his newborn boy who had captured his heart, all alone, and he wasn't with him, so naturally there was some anxiety in his consciousness. He placed Vrindavan under the care of Upananda Prabhu, his older brother, and he'd gone to Mathura and he came back, and suddenly Srila Jiva Goswami saw that he saw there were unlimited amount of crows flying over something that had a form, but he could not tell what that form was. He thought, is this a cloud that has fallen from the sky and has attached itself to the earth? It was actually the body of Putana. The cowherd men started joking and walking towards that form. They were fearful. They were curious, and they were something else. I can't remember. There was a third emotion they were experiencing. They were fearful, and they were curious, and they were getting closer. And then they saw it was a body with its bones sticking up. And then they started hearing from the people of Vrindavan what had happened, that this creature had walked into his home, into the home of Mother Yasoda, and had taken his child on his lap and tried to kill him. And she had then assumed this form, and he was in complete anxiety. About Krishna. Prema includes anxiety for one's beloved. It's just part of love to be in anxiety about the welfare of one's beloved. But when the object of the anxiety
and the love is Krishna, then that anxiety is a different kind of ecstasy. A different kind of ecstasy. Okay, let us stop now. It is exactly 8 o'clock. And we now have the great fortune of going to see Srila Prabhupada and Sisi Gornatai, Sisi Krishna and Balaram, and Sisi Radhashana Sunda. And interestingly enough, when we were talking about the beauty of Krishna and our desire maybe came increased in our heart to see Krishna. And so many times Prabhupada said, when people would say, can you show me God? Can you show me Krishna? And he would say, yes, he's right in the temple. So we can go and see him right now. And if we can just coat our eyes with the ointment of love and some faith and pray to him with some honesty to please allow us to see something of his beauty and kindness and mercy, because we are so much in need of this type of nourishment, affectionate nourishment to our hearts. Maybe if he so desires, he will give us one drop of his mercy. And it has been said by Krishna Das Kaviraj, one drop of that mercy is enough to drown the entire world. So let us go drown now in the mercy of Krishna and Balaram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ki jai. Sri Harinam Prabhu ki jai. And Gomata ki jai. And Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai.